My dear friends, I have read that text from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, really as an excuse chapter. My title is really to speak to you tonight about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I may add to that subject, our blessed and glorious hope. This is the glorious and the blessed hope for every believer. And this hope is given to us by the word of the Lord. And it makes the Christian life to be significant. It makes the Christian life to be purposeful. It makes the Christian life to be meaningful. Meaningful in our faith, but also meaningful in our lives. So I may anticipate by saying, if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, His return will mean nothing to you. Or it may mean something else to you, because it will be a day when you will stand before the living God. But what can you bring before the living God? You will bring your own good works. They are not sufficient. Nobody can be saved by his own good works. But look, just a first verse, which I feel sums up everything for us we can say about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's there in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9, one verse, but it speaks to us about the first, but also the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it encompasses and it combines and puts together everything we need to know, not only about the first return, but also the second return. I won't read many verses, otherwise we will never get through, but here is the first one. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. And in verse 27, classic verse, memorized from Sunday school, and it is, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Explained in verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. First return to save us, second return to judge us. My dear friends, the Christian religion, if you want, Christianity is unique. This is not like any other religion. It is not like any other philosophy. You know why? There is no another religion or there is no other philosophy that really gives us real life after death. Real life, not some kind of utopia or a kind of dream or a kind of even reincarnation. Some people believe in reincarnation. Some people believe in annihilation. We don't believe in those things. We believe in real resurrection. God is coming back. There will be a general resurrection of the dead and the living. And we shall receive glorified bodies. Oh, that day, those who have trusted in him will be with him forever. To be with the Lord is far better. But those who do not trust in him will be in a place where we read in the word of God, there will be only weeping and teeth gnashing. And that is hell. So the most stupendous event, the greatest event which will shake heaven and earth is yet to come. And one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, this should really encourage and lift up the heart of every believer. Our Savior, our Redeemer, is coming back to wrap up the history of this world. Now, speaking about the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, the prophets did not always distinguish the two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they knew very well that the Savior, the Redeemer, must first come. And when he comes, He must die on the cross of Calvary. He must be buried. And he must raise from the dead on the third day. This is according to the scriptures. We read it in Luke chapter 24. We read it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The third day, according to the scriptures. Not according to man's ideas or speculation or opinion, but according to the scriptures. But then, after his resurrection, he will ascend. So all these things, the prophets of the Old Testament knew them very well, though they did not separate between the two comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will ascend, he will descend, and when he descends, all men shall stand before him and come into judgment. So we can say, through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 24, verse 4, I think, let no man deceive you when it comes to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm building up, still in our shorter, hopefully, introduction, just for us to understand what is happening before we come really to look at some certainties. Now, as you know, Christianity is diverse. So many denominations, so many appellations, so many groups. Christianity, if I may say, is multi-eschatological. Eschatology meaning the study of last days of end times. Many, many positions. Many, many ways of explaining the end times. But we are unanimous, really. No matter where we stand in our interpretation of end times, there is that unanimity among the Christendom or among Christians that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. So that is very important. Now, if I may just give you a few statistics so you can see why this subject is so essential and so vital. I think it has been said that the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in the Old Testament nearly 2,000 times. Oh, that's a lot. And it has been said that at least half of the books of the Old Testament are mentioning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in my small mind, I think all the 39 books of the Old Testament are actually saying, he's coming, he's coming. You know how we differentiate the Old and the New Testament? The Old says he's coming, and the New says, he's come, he's here. Believe on him, trust in him. But when you come to the New Testament, 7 out of 10 chapters, every chapter in the New Testament mentions the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 23 of the 27 books of the New Testament mention the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe it is not only mentioned, let's say, some people, they want to know which ones. Maybe Galatians doesn't, but even that one, I'm doing for quite some time now, a series on Paul's letter to the Galatians, but I think if you dig well, it's there. Or maybe 2 John, maybe 3 John, maybe Philemon, but just to say, almost all the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament mention the return, the second coming, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, one of every 8, when you have one verse, let's say again, still on our statistics, if you have one verse mentioning the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have 8 verses in the New Testament mentioning the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, I hope you agree that this is a very important subject. And I thought I should really bring this subject to you because in my small years in the Christian life, I have to be honest with you, I have not sat under a sermon just dedicated to give me an idea of what things will take place, what will happen also when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. When he comes, what should take place? So this is why tonight I will really give you just the background of the second return. And in another session, God willing, I will speak about how are we to live in the light of the second coming of our Savior. So in a world of uncertainties, in a world of frustration, in a world of pessimism, what can we be sure about, we as believers? And this is where the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will help us a lot. So here is my first heading as I explain the return of our Savior. Now the Bible, as I said already, is unanimous. It is crystal clear. Through prophecies, promises, parables, and pictures, that Christ will come back into this world to judge the world, to take his people with him. And I believe they speak all these prophecies, promises, pictures, and parables. They speak about the same and one single event that will take place when the Lord comes back. And that single event is referred to in the Bible with many names. There are many names. I'm not able to list all of them to you, but allow me to give you a short list. How is the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ called throughout the Old and the New Testament? First name, it is the day of the Lord, to differentiate with the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. But it is also called the day of Christ. It is called the day of God. It is called that day. It is called the last day. It is called his day. It is also called the day of his wrath, the day of his anger. It is called also the day of the Son of Man. So all these appellations really refer to the same and single event. One event is going to take place, and that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we should have been able to read, even from our 1689 Confession of Faith, what it says there about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I mentioning this? All our good confessions of faith are speaking about his return. That last day, the day of the Lord, when Christ comes back into this world. Even the creeds, if you take like the Nicene Creed, it is very affirmative there. And it says that he shall come again in glory to judge both the living and the dead. But just a side comment here. It's an extra biblical remark I'm giving. Even Islam says, and this is, I think for me, it should make them to think more. They say that when Christ comes back in his second coming, it will be the end of the world. It is interesting, no other prophet, even their own prophet, they haven't said he's coming back. So you see, again, the vitality and the importance of the subject. Now, in speaking about those prophecies, promises, parables, and pictures, I have some subheadings to explain more. The first one is the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about his return. Please forgive me. We don't have time to turn to the verses, but I could just mention them to you. If you are a Bible student, later you check them for yourself. In John chapter 14, classic chapter of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going, and I will prepare a place for you. When that place is prepared, I'm paraphrasing, of course, I will come back again. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ put these words, or said these words, just 2 days before the cross of Calvary. So he's coming back. He said so. He said so in his teaching. He said so in his parables. He even said so in his miracles. So everywhere you look about the Lord Jesus Christ, he has not changed his mind about his coming again. When you look at his parables, if you take the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, when you take the parable of the talents, when you take the parable of the fig tree, all these parables are telling us, he combined them with the teaching about salvation, but also the teaching about his second coming. And that is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the noble man, we read in Luke chapter 19, who went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return again. So he spoke about it. Second, the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ said it to the disciples. They spoke about it. And a classic reference towards that, it's Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Well-known passage. Oh, there the holy angels spoke to the disciples and they said to them, this same Jesus, not another one, shall return in like manner. He shall return with his mighty angels in great glory and he will receive the praise that he deserves on that day. Number three, about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, all the writers of the New Testament spoke about the return of the Lord, the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my mind again, I plan to go through this, but here is something you can do for yourself. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 8 chapters. In every one of those chapters, Paul speaks about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to give you even a hint, when you take 1 Thessalonians, at the end of every chapter, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. What about Peter? Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5, in 2 Peter chapter 3, mentions also the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about John? John, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Revelation chapter 22, at the end, the last verse is even the prayer and the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. What about Jude? Jude verse 14, he mentions Enoch. Enoch is from where? Enoch is from the Old Testament. And Enoch is seven generations after Adam. Seven generations after Adam. Here is Enoch prophesying not only the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the second coming of our Savior. What about James? James the writer. James chapter 5, verse 8. He said, the Lord is at hand. He's coming back. Be patient as a believer. Now, what about the writer to the Hebrews. We read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So we could really go through all of them just to show you again how the subject is so vital. And the Bible abounds about the second return of our Savior. Christ spoke about it. The prophets proclaimed it. His angels announced it. And his apostles declared it. And the church is doing what today, my dear friends? I think a sermon or preaching without mentioning the second return of Christ make our sermons really handicapped. They miss something. They are wobbling. And it should come often that the greatest event happening in our world is the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, but when he comes, it will be the end of the world. Without this return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Christian faith will be like a bridge going nowhere. Just think about a ladder going, here are the steps, but it's going nowhere. But his return makes that bridge, that ladder has an end, and it will have a conclusion. And these are very important elements. Now, I ask the question, how will he come back? So we put matters and facts about the certainty about the Lord Jesus Christ's return. But how is he going to come back? So I have a number of headings here also to help us or to encourage us, to lift us up, to melt, if not our hearts, to love him more and to wait for that great event, which I believe so many ingredients are happening in our world today that are telling us Christ will soon come back. And here is the first one. Christ will come back personally and bodily. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. And we read there, Christ himself. So he is not sending a substitute, but he's coming back himself. No one could take his place at the cross of Calvary, and no substitute will take his place also when he comes back. It will be him and no one else. Not an angel, not a seraphim, not a cherubim, not another prophet, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we read it, the Lord himself, not another Jesus. Number two, so first one, he will come back bodily and personally. The second, he will come back visibly and publicly. He will come back visibly and publicly. We read it in Luke chapter 17, in Matthew chapter 24, and so on. I will stop giving you any reference just to move, because there is more to come. And visibly and publicly, meaning that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ will not happen covertly. It will not be secret. It will not be hidden. It will be universal. Everyone, everywhere will know about it. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. So that is really the second. He shall appear descending from heaven. Now, the third, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back gloriously. And he will appear also spectacularly. There will be a triumphant coming of the Savior. The King of Kings will be escorted by his holy angels. Look at the queens and the kings of this world. They have their cortege. They have their entourage. They have the soldiers, and that makes them proud. But the King of Kings will have his entourage. Angels. And he will come back on a cloud. The cloud will be like a chariot to him. They have the limousine, the kings of this world. But he has the clouds as his chariot. And those chariots are really representative of the presence of God. The presence of God. Glorious and spectacular coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read the order of his coming, what will happen as he is coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read, he will come back with a shout, like a roaring lion, with a mighty command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. No king has ever merited or deserved such an acclamation and such an exaltation. This is the only King of Kings. His return will be like the lightning coming from the east and shining unto the west. The sky will brighten and flush. The return of our Savior will be triumphant. We read that in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Now the fourth one, the return of our Savior will be sudden, swift, and unexpectedly. He will come in a twinkling of an eye. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Like a flash of light. Like a thief coming in the night. The thief coming in the night. Not that we will not know about his coming. That is not the meaning. The meaning is that he will come swiftly. With great hasteness. The Lord Jesus Christ will come back. Number five. His return will take place after a long time. That's very important to understand. His return, the return of our Savior, will take place after a long time. That is very clear from many of his parables related to the second coming. My dear friends, the apostles, they knew that it would not be in their time. That's why he wrote 1 Thessalonians to the believers. They did not believe that Christ will come in their time. Otherwise, why would they preach the gospel? Why the Great Commission was given to us? So the Son of God will come back after a long time. Number 6. Now we ask the question, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back? Some foolish people have given dates, and they have proved themselves to be absurd dates. Even our dear John Wesley, at some times he gave a date. It never happened. The Jehovah Witnesses gave a date. It never happened. The Mormons, they gave a date. It never happened. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 7 that it is not for us to know the date or to know the hour. The most calculated guess will fail. So instead, we believers, the Lord Jesus Christ said about his return, to be prayerful, to be watchful, to be vigilant. And I will deal with those aspects about the practicality of the Lord's return in our future session, God willing. And nevertheless, we are given some clues about when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. May I list just a few for you so that you know we are given some insight, signs that Christ will soon come back. The first one, Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, that the gospel shall be preached into the world to all nations. Then the end shall come. Oh, my dear friends, that's why the church should have the responsibility and the duty week after week to preach the gospel. A gospel-less church is a Christ-less church. And it shouldn't be called the church at all. So that is the first sign. This gospel will be preached unto all nations as a witness. Number 2, when the bride again, who is the bride? The church of Jesus Christ, gather together. Revelation chapter 19. There will be the wedding of the Lamb. Gather together. There will be that great ceremony, that great wedding where Jews and Gentiles, remember, God does not have two plans of salvation, one for the Jews, one for the Gentiles. It has never been so in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You go back to the Old Testament, there in the prophet Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, salvation is always by faith alone. The righteous shall live by faith, Habakkuk said. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, salvation is of the Lord. How was Abraham saved? Was he saved because he was a Jew? No, he was not saved because he was a Jew. He was saved because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. How was Job saved? Job was saved because he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, you know the passage, Abraham saw the day of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was glad. Nobody was saved by circumcision in the Old Testament nor in the New Testament. Nobody was saved by any ritual or by any ceremony. Only by the blood of the Savior. Right there, from the first promise of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, my dear friends, the gospel is important. Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. The bride shall be gathered together. All the converts gathered together. And the last convert added, then shall the end come. Number 3, the sign number 3, we call it when the time of the Gentiles, there is a time of the Gentiles coming. In Romans chapter 9, there is 1:3. So the Gentiles will come and be grafted on that tree. There will be only 1:3. The church is made of Jews and Gentiles again. So the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles being completed means the gospel age is finished. No gospel preachers again. No gospel sermons again. No mercy again. No salvation will be given to any when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We don't believe in purgatory. This is an invention by men. Nobody will have a second chance when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. That's it. Only remains the judgment. But we are also given more signs. Now, because of the warmth, I don't want to worry you. In Matthew chapter 24, we are given 8 signs there. 8 signs. If I could just list them for you before I proceed, in the next 5 minutes I will be over. Look at them. I will mention just verses and later study it for yourself. My point here is whatever I study from the Word of God is really to make me to love the Lord even more, to serve Him wholeheartedly, and to expect His coming at any time, because He said He's coming. Oh, let me list. It's all in Matthew chapter 24. I have highlighted them here in my Bible. And as you know, in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus, the disciples have asked the Lord 3 questions. He answers 2 of them, but He doesn't answer to them the 3rd one. When exactly will this happen? But He gives them signs. Here is number 1. Many false prophets and false Christ shall come. Verse 5. The second, war and rumors of wars. Verse 6 and 7. Then the 3rd one, famines and pestilences and earthquakes, verse 7. Number 4, persecution of believers, verse 9 and 10. The 5th one, the denial of faith by many, apostasy, verse 11 and 12. The 6th one, iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold, verse 12. The 7th one, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Verse 14. And the last one, look at it in verse 29, the shaking of heaven and earth. And you can compare all these 8 signs given to us in Matthew chapter 24 with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 later. You will see they are very parallel. My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. It will be personal. It will be in His own body. It will be visible. It will be public. It will be glorious and spectacular. It will be sudden and swift. But His return will happen after a long time. The King went for a long time, but He will come back. He went to have His kingdom, and He will return with His kingdom. When? No one knows the day, no one knows the hour. But there are signs. I did my best to list some of the signs. They are not exhaustive, there are more. But many of those signs, we see them happening in our world today. But I want to give you another element which is related to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 7th one, if you are following with me. The 7th one, the return of Christ will be the hour of judgment. The hour of judgment. It will sound. And there will be no pause. When He comes back, I believe again in my small mind and in my small studies of the Word of God, everything takes place together in one go. In one go. Why? Because God has the power to do that. God has the power to do that. He is an almighty God. And we read it in 2 Thessalonians. The son of perdition will be destroyed by His apparition. Please, again, we are so influenced by the so-called movies. Don't believe in any movie telling you about the apocalypse or just to dramatize matters. And I believe the so-called war of Gog, the nations Gog and Magog, or the war of Armageddon, these are symbols, my dear friends. There will be no war. We read there that with the spirit of his mouth, you know, just a blow, Christ will defeat Satan. We hear about wars. We see tanks, we see airplanes, we see helicopters. That is not what the Bible is speaking about. When Christ comes back with just the breath of his mouth, one blow, and everything will happen. So there is no, the Lord shall consume the wicked with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Can you guess? Can you think of something like just with the brightness of his coming? Oh, the power of our Savior. Unparalleled, incomparable with any power of this world. So, on that day, there will be full cleansing and great purification. Now I close with the eighth one. If I have lost you anywhere, please remember the certainty of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be personal. It will be himself, nobody else, himself. It will be visible. It will be public. The third, it will be glorious, spectacular, triumphant. The fourth, sudden. Unexpected by non-believers. But we know he is our groom. He is our groom. We know when he is coming back. Or we sense it. We will not be taken by surprise because he told us to be prayerful, to be vigilant. So that is what you want me as we sleep tonight. If he comes back, I'm ready. I'm ready. I don't need to wait next year to be ready. Even tonight, I'm ready for the groom to come back and to take me with him. And we said his return, fifthly, will be for a long time. What is the hour? We do not know. But there are clear signs. Seventh, his return will sound the hour of judgment. And the last one, number eight, that day will be a delightful day for the believer. It will be, as the Puritans put it, it will be a day of consolation, a day of comfort. You know, when I think about it, have you ever seen glory in this world? I have never seen glory in this world. Have you ever seen perfection in this world? No, I have never seen anything pure in this world. Why there is no glory in this world? Why there is no perfection in this world? Because this is a corrupt world. This is a polluted world. This is a fallen world. This is a doomed world. But this is also a passing world. Real glory will remain forever. Forever. We will be with the Lord. That's why everlasting life, just to think about it, everlasting life means what? Uninterrupted life. Your life and my life will be interrupted. We are interrupted daily by pains, by trials, troubles, temptations, assaulted by many thoughts, evil thoughts, wicked thoughts. But that day, Revelation, we read, no more pain, no more tears, no more death. Oh, it will be a day of consolation, delightful day for the believer. But remember, it will be a dreadful day for those who are outside the kingdom of God. He is coming back with his saints, all his saints, for all his saints. What a celebration. I wish I could read Revelation 19 again. You will see the celebration there when he's back, when our Savior is back. The Lord will keep his promises, you know. Oh, God cannot lie. We read in Titus 1 verse 2. He cannot lie. David Livingstone, I think, he said, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He keeps his promises. So he said he will come back. He hasn't changed his mind. God never changed his mind. It's only when we repent, God changes his mind, if we want to put it in human terms. So he's coming back. He will keep his promises. He's coming with all that it implies. We'll launch the new heavens and new earth. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there will be new heaven, new earth, where righteousness dwelleth. Nothing is righteous in this world. But when the Savior comes back, the new heavens, new earth will be a kingdom of righteousness. And you will be there if you have trusted in him. I will be there as I have trusted in him. When he appear, we read in Colossians chapter 3 verse 4, we shall appear with him. We shall appear with him. And it will be the full and complete safety of our souls. Maranatha. That's how believers in New Testament times greeted one another. Maranatha, meaning Lord Jesus, come back. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. O Lord, we do not understand everything, but it is true that our Savior is coming back. O Lord, help us to wait for that great event, not in a mystical way, but while we wait, we keep our hands busy. We keep our minds busy, looking up, looking to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank thee, Lord, for hearing us, even tonight, and blessing each one of us. O Lord, stir up again our hearts to love thee more and to praise thee in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.